To the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Prada. Joining me to break down NFL Week 8, Austin Tark, James Bitter. Guys, how we doing?
Outstanding.
Guess who's back? Back again. I'm fresh off a much-needed recovery. It was
another loss.
I needed that bye week to...
Are we sure it's a good thing you're back?
Clear. First of all, I've been grinding this season. Like, that was a well-deserved bye week. I think we can all agree for me. Thank you guys for filling in.
You're welcome. I will say, I mean, you bring so much to the podcast, Austin, mostly in your zoology facts. And I think we might be talking Cowboys Vikings later too. So that's going to be exciting. But, you know, you can just hang on for that stuff. You don't need to give out a best bet if you don't want. I don't think people would be that upset.
Look, I got you guys right where I want you, to be honest. I mean, it's...
Got it. I love talking shit right now because I have gotten only one more correct than you have. So
yes, I'm 1-6. But look, if you guys can beat 11-6, all you guys, 12-6, right? 18 weeks this year. If you guys can beat 12-6, you beat me. But I'm still feeling pretty confident with where I stand.
James took his first L.
Woo!
Was excited about that. Who was your best bet last week?
The Ravens, they got obliterated.
Oh, never mind. I actually bet that. I was not excited about that.
Yeah, I did say either the Bengals win or the Ravens win by a lot. So I was like half right. In the blowout. In the point. Yeah.
Nah, we're not giving them the half point. Are you kidding me? Austin, what are we doing here? We need a makeup ground. All right. Another week. Austin, did you watch much football? You did run a marathon Sunday. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did. It was funny. I was actually changing my fantasy lineup mid-marathon, and I was still looking at the scores. So I did watch a little. The biggest takeaway for me was that Bengals win. Incredible. I mean, you guys just mentioned with the Ravens, but they beat the shit out of them. And I think we got to talk about them as a power in the AFC, but I think I'll get into a little later. I think it was a little fraudulent of a victory.
I wouldn't necessarily say fraudulent. But I do think what they're showing us is that if you have three really good receivers and at the bare minimum an above average quarterback, I think your offense is just going to be really good. Look at the Cowboys, look at the Bucks, the Bengals. I mean, the Chiefs lost a third solid receiver and now their offense has kind of gone to shit. And I think it's really important. I think that it's kind of understated, especially when we're looking at teams headed into the year. And I think we should keep that in mind for next year, because if there is kind of the, a Bengals-like team, we could possibly find a team undervalued like that. So I think that is something to watch out for. Any other takeaways? Any like futures you bet? Colts-Niners, that was a football game. I was very happy with that result. Oh, you still owe me, Austin.
Are we green button that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Both of you?
No, don't worry. James is on the Niners.
Nice. Yeah. Shit. I'll pay you 25.
All right. Anything else? Any other things you've got stored up from the week? I feel like not much happened.
Scorigami.
Score other than Scorigami.
That's about it.
Yeah, it was a pretty uneventful week. A lot of really, really bad football games.
Davante Adams is out. I think people were making a big deal about how much he's worth to the spread just because it moved so much, but it just moved through dead numbers. So, like, it doesn't really matter. In terms of probability, it's probably about the same. Other than that, I really got nothing. Should we just get right into best bets?
Let's do it.
All righty. James, you're starting us off. And Niners, correct?
Yes.
All right, sweet. So the Niners at Chicago, Niners lane 4. The total is at
40.
40? Ooh, that's low.
39.5.
Wow. All right. We'll roll with 39.5. And actually, I'm seeing Niners minus 3.5. James, present the case for the San Francisco 49ers.
So I was on the Niners last week with Austin to start the week. And as the week progressed, I kind of moved towards the Colts, but the bet had already been placed. This week, I'm pretty strong on the Niners. I think the Bears currently are a bottom three team in the NFL. Just with everything going on behind the scenes, what the quotes coming from Allen Robinson talking about Justin Fields and how he got no reps in the offseason. Nagy saying this group he trusts because they're closer than ever after the last 48 hours after losing by 35. I just don't like anything I'm hearing from them. I certainly don't like what I saw from the Niners Sunday, but I kind of throw that game out with just the bizarre weather and what do they call it? Like a winter, like a waterfall from the heavens or something?
River from the heavens?
It certainly looked like that. Yeah, Al Michaels was talking about
Carson Wentz is ball handling too much.
I went on mute for a little bit. I'm not even lying. And normally I think they do a great job. That was I can't continue. Sorry.
Anyways, now the Bears are without Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. We saw last week the Bucs were able to establish the run, and Leonard Fournette, and that just they ate offensively. Just everything the Bucs did worked. And I think we see something pretty similar from the Niners this week. If they're able to establish the run, that offense should be able to work. I mean, when they weren't able to run the ball in the second half, they were really ineffective. And then offensively, the Bears like just don't scare me at all. Fields had 5 turnovers last week. It should have been 6. 4 fumbles and 2 picks. There's just not words right now to describe what's going on behind the scenes in Chicago. And I just don't trust it. I think 4 or 3.5 is a little light here. I'd play this up to 5 or 6. It's hard to lay this on the road with kind of an anemic offense, but I just don't trust the Bears. I like the Niners here.
Austin, what do you think?
I'm currently looking up the weather. It's week 8 or week 9?
9.
I mean, no, I kind of wanted.
Is it?
Pretty sure.
I got it.
It's week 8.
Because sometimes it could be bad weather.
It's just it's 13 windy.
Mile per hour winds. Okay, that probably favors the Niners. I don't know. I can't. I'm completely passing the game. I kind of want to take the Bears, but as James mentioned, with Khalil Mack and Hicks out, the Niners they should be able to run all over them. Especially because Elijah Mitchell looked pretty damn good at least to start that game. I don't really know why they went away from it. I guess the weather did play a bit of a factor. At the same time, like this Niners secondary is really bad. And
yeah, like, but so was the Bucs last week. I mean, they're still really injury riddled in the secondary. They had 2 picks.
And can the Bears take advantage of it? Yeah, advantage of it? Probably not. But I think the one thing the Bears do have going for them this week is that Matt Nagy has COVID. And with
hell yeah,
Bill Lazor possibly leading the squad and leading the offense, I think could be the best thing for this team. So that's kind of my biggest point for taking the Bears. I almost want to take the over. If there wasn't weather involved, because this total is pretty damn low, and I think the Niners will be able to get theirs, especially on the ground. It's going to be a pass for me, though.
So coming into the week, I wanted to like the Niners, but I've kind of talked myself into the Bears, so I will take your action, James. Give me the Bears plus it's 3.5 right now, so we'll just go 3.5. I do kind of want to call it like a small hedge, but I do think the Niners are going to put up points. So I think a Niners team total over is not the worst look, but this is the reason why I'm so bad betting on or against the Bears. It's because they go in like 3 weeks, like 3 week flows where they'll like have like a pop-up good game. And then where it's the line just looks like, oh, this is a short number. And they're at home too. I always want to fade them at home.
Yep.
And then the Bears they'll win this game outright somehow. I don't know. But I want to fade the San Francisco defense. I think it's I was going to say atrocious. That's a little strong. It's bad though. And the injuries in the secondary clearly matter, and they're clearly struggling there. Now, on top of that, Chicago, they've had the hardest strength of schedule up to this point. So I do think we're buying low on them a little bit. And I think the Chicago skill talent is better than what the Colts had. And the Colts put up, granted, there was a bunch of short fields, but they still put up, what, like 30 points in like probably the worst weather we're going to see all year.
I mean, there's a lot of PIs.
That's true. But I would also say that's bad defense. And yeah. I think that that's happening this much, then I think Justin Fields is going to have a good, easy week ahead of him. And also they have Nick Bosa, but they do not have anywhere near like the front 7 that Tampa Bay has. And so I think Justin Fields will be pressured a lot less. So I'm also not super worried about that. I think the Bears actually have their best offensive game of the year with no Nagy.
That's saying a lot.
So, yeah, I know, right? Only the hottest takes coming from me. And so give me the Bears. And I don't think that the Niners team total overlook is the worst thing in the world. We ready to move on?
Yeah.
Sweet. My best bet. I'm in second place. Suck it, Austin. Dem boys on Sunday night, -1 at Minnesota. And my bad. Total is 54.5. So I did bet this over too. I think I bet 53. Thank you. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings offense decides to do what they want in the fourth quarter. In the first three quarters, it's so conservative, and all they want to do is run the ball, and you can't do that against the Cowboys. So if they do just want to decide to play from behind all game, that's fine. That's great for my over, and that's great for the Cowboys, because I don't think they should have any trouble scoring on this Vikings defense. I feel like at the start of the season, we kept talking about how we expected improvement just because of the guys they got back, and either these players are just got injured again, or they are not playing at a similar level as of 2 years ago. They don't pressure the quarterback very well, although it is a step up from last year. And now they go up against a very good offensive line who is getting their starting right tackle back after a 6-game suspension, which I encourage people to look up what has kind of happened to Lyle Collins over the past 6 months, because I'll tell you guys after this. I don't know all the details, but it is crazy. There's something with a prostitute and a weird joke he made at a drug test and a bunch of stuff. He tried to bribe the drug test guy. So it's a bunch of weird stuff, but I encourage people to look it up. So they get him back, which is great, right? But he's really good. I mean, he's their starting right tackle. And I think with a week, both teams have a week to prepare, of course, but I think that it benefits the team on the road way more. And just because, it's not as stress of a travel schedule, and you do kind of get the time to reboost. But give me Cowboys team total over. Cowboys, I think the Cowboys can make this game a little ugly too. If the Vikings just want to run the ball the whole time, I think this is, I don't understand why it's only -1 at the moment. It was -2 on the look ahead, and then neither team played and it went down. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts here are.
Well, I'm seeing a Vikings -1 now.
Okay.
Money's coming in. I don't get it.
Yeah.
They're favored now?
On BetFast.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're getting healthier. Anthony Barr was a full practice today, but I mean, they're really not missing anyone. Michael Pierce will be their only big injury.
Yeah. I started the week, I actually bet the Cowboys on Sunday night -1. I thought that was a pretty good number as it moved towards 3. Now it's coming back, and I'm kind of leaning towards the Vikings. Obviously not enough to bet it. I did tease the Vikings up to 8.5, and now if it flips the other way, I'm going to tease the Cowboys to 7.5. This feels like a one-possession game all the way. I definitely think the Cowboys are a better team, and I think they should be favored here. But I see a very close game playing out here. I just think both teams off a bye should be able to move the ball and have pretty good offensive game plans.
The double teasers are pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm pretty mixed here. I think I'm going to come into this game with a live betting point of view. Chaz mentioned how Vikings are so run reliant to at least start the game. I think if Cowboys get out ahead early and they start passing, the Vikings start passing the ball, that plays right into what the Vikings offense should be doing. And on the same side, if the Vikings come out with a lead, this Cowboys offense is going to be able to do whatever they want. They should be able to score as well. So I think I might just wait and see. If someone's out to a 10-0 lead, I'll probably grab that side. One thing I'll add is Patrick Peterson's out, and I know he's old, and Chaz called him washed last year. But he's been one of the best corners for the Vikings, and I don't know how they're going to stop this Cowboys receiving core. My only argument for the teaser is this is a really big total, and they say don't tease when a total is this high. But I hear where James is coming from. I mean, the Vikings at home are pretty damn dangerous. They're a different team, and they should be able to keep this game closer.
All right. Austin, your best bet of Eagles. That line currently is they are laying 3.5 on the road at the Detroit Lions. Total is 47.5. Austin,
why are
we betting the Eagles?
I was just hoping you were just going to give me a 3 just because, you know, you felt bad for the guy who's
1-6. You can have the 3. I don't know.
I'll take Eagles minus 3.5. I mean, I was on the Eagles last week, and boy, that was a bad performance against the Raiders.
Wait, Austin, really quick.
Yeah.
This is becoming a lot of shades of last year when you and I would kind of just like alternate taking the Eagles every week. And we must have gone like 1-6 in that time.
You want to know the difference, Jazz?
Sure.
Carson Wentz is not the quarterback. A.
Is Jalen Hurts that much better?
No, but B, we're facing the Detroit Lions. And I am fading Detroit because I think this line is short. Look, the Lions are having all-in efforts. From Campbell crying just a couple weeks ago, and they thought, oh, this is going to give the team life. So people started betting the Lions, and then they get blown out to the Bengals, to literally doing Madden plays last week where they're kicking on sides, they're doing fake punts, and they still lost by 9. And yet here we are, people still want to back the Lions. And I get it. They're playing hard. They have effort, but this is a bottom 2, probably bottom 1 team in the league. They haven't scored 20 points since week 1. They've trailed by double digits in every single game except for last week. I think this is a tough spot for them. I think honestly, that was a pretty big loss that they suffered last week. I think this line is short. Eagles have faced some pretty good offenses so far this season. Facing this bad Detroit offense, their defense should finally look a little bit better. It's tough with this Eagles offense. They're just not clicking very well, but I'm going to trust that the Eagles can get it done against this really bad Detroit team. So for that reason, I'm laying the points. I'll take the Eagles minus 3.5.
James, what do you think?
Yeah, I bet this game, but didn't make my likes. I agree with everything you said. The only point you could really make here for Detroit is that Cincinnati was also favored by 3.5 just 2 weeks ago. And obviously with what we know now, we know Cincinnati is a better team than Philly. But I mean, since that time, I think you have to downgrade the Lions a little bit. Yes, they were impressive last week, but I mean, if you look at that, there was so much of it was luck. And onside, 2 fake punts. I mean, Dan Campbell's pulling stuff just from nowhere. And even with all that, they still lost by 9, like Austin said. I do feel this is a little short. So, like, I will be on the Eagles as well, but it's an ugly play for sure.
Yeah. I want to like the Eagles because I think that the Lions are kind of just like due for. Actually, this just kind of came into me in my mind. So I think if I were to bet anything in this game, it would be Eagles alternate spreads, because with how aggressive Dan Campbell has been, mind you, not exactly in like the best of spots either. Like, he's still kicking field goals 4th-and-1, things of that nature. But if some of these fake punts, onside kicks just blow up in his face, then that could just create even like very easy and like great field position for the Eagles. And so I do think that could present opportunities for them to kind of create a big margin here. 3.5 is tough for me just at like minus 110. So that is kind of where I'm leaning. Or I would lean Eagles, I guess. But this is an interesting game because I'm curious to see how the Eagles kind of look, especially after what was a pretty, like, I would call it a blowout loss. I think it's worse than the score indicated, but Sirianni is just a weirdo.
I don't think he's the guy.
I would agree, and like, I'm willing to give him a few more games, see if he can turn it around. No. But
you're gonna call for his head, the Jazz curse?
Well, no. I'm not calling for it yet. I give people a chance. I give people a chance. But man, that time is coming soon.
I do still have one thing to add. Sure. So according to my sources, So this is honestly hard to believe, but my sources don't lie. And obviously I'm not going to reveal my sources, but apparently an eagle can kill a lion. See, I would not be able to expect that.
Well, eagles are like huge.
Yeah. But lions are fucking huge. Like, they're the king of the jungle. all you would think they could just stand up and just slap it. But according to my sources, an eagle would be able to kill it, which just plays more into the fact that they should be able to cover this spread.
Yeah, it's worth a half point. I agree. Let's move on. Is that goodness gracious? Let's get to this Anchor ad and then talk about the rest of the games. Quick word from Anchor. All right, thank you to Anchor. Also, I think we should reveal your source.
No. An expert never reveals his sources because then they'll start going to him.
He is your ghostwriter after all.
Yeah.
For all of our animal facts, I could see an eagle killing a lion. I could.
There we go. I hope they do by 4 points this week.
Now we've got another. A bill is a buffalo, right?
Correct.
Yes.
So they're the buffalo buffaloes. I think this is the first time I've actually thought about that.
Is a Bengal a tiger?
Oh man, no, that's not even close to as bad as that.
Yeah.
That was idiotic.
Could a dolphin kill a could a dolphin kill a buffalo bill? I guess we'll find out this Sunday. Because the Dolphins are getting 14 points. The total is at 49. James, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this game?
There's about the same statistical likelihood of a dolphin jumping out of the water and killing a bill as the Dolphins winning this game. The Bills coming off a bye after a loss. I'd be scared if I were the Dolphins. I have no play in this game. 14 is a ton of points, but I'm very curious to see how the Bills come out. I think Bills first half could be an angle here. If you can find a 7 instead of a 7.5, I kind of like that. But in terms of laying 14, I'm not interested in that.
Honestly, I think this is way too many points.
I completely agree.
The look ahead was 11, and now Miami was somehow downgraded 3 points after a pretty good frisky performance against Atlanta last week. And like, if you look at the box score of this first game, they lost 35-0, but it was the closest 35-0 loss I've ever seen. Just considering that once Tua got hurt, the game was over. It was 14-0. But like, Buffalo just like their team stats were, it's not in front of me. It was very similar to Miami. They had a lot of short fields. But I want to say like that game was closer. But at the same time, the Bills have owned the Dolphins in the past. For the last 3 years, it's just been difficult for Miami to keep these games close. So for that reason, I'm staying away. And especially Buffalo is the type of team that loves to get margin. They keep their foot on the gas as the game goes on. But my gut tells me this is way too many points. I think 14 Miami has some value.
This is a like for me. This is a bet. I bet Dolphins plus 14. And I think people are taking two plays from an entire game last week, and they're using that to like define who Tua is. And that is just like, first of all, like whether you think he's going to be good or not, like that's one thing, but to kind of like just take like ridiculously small sample sizes in which he actually has a good game and makes a bunch of good throws, that's ridiculous. I don't think the Miami Dolphins is that bad with him. They might get more receiver reinforcements back this week. Which that would be a plus. And we were just talking about 2-3 weeks ago about how the Buffalo Bills have an overrated defense, and why is that not going to apply here? I think the Dolphins are so ripe for a backdoor, especially just for the reason of they want to get to a more reps. And I'm aware that Buffalo just murders the Dolphins, but I don't think that's as much of like a coach owning a head coach, more so than kind of taking advantage of, at least in the, especially like last year and the year before. I think they just take advantage of like a much weaker team. And I think this is a better team. Like I think at this point in time, the Dolphins have their best team in like the last, say, 2 years. And I think 14 points is way, 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 way too expensive here. I also think that the over is a little low too, because I think there's going to be a bunch of points, unless there's weather, which I did not look at that. I didn't look at
the weather for any of these. Light wind, not light wind, but wind up to 14.
All right. That's wind.
Drizzle too.
But I would also say that benefits Miami, just because they are looking.
Dolphins like water.
James.
There we go.
James, you're speaking my language right now. And like Miami's offense thrives on short to intermediate passing. And I don't think that wind is really affecting that as much. So Give me the Dolphins plus 14. I think this is a perfect spot to grab the Dolphins too.
One thing I just want to add, Miami's got a lot of guys, I think, playing for their jobs at this point. I mean, with their record, and I think Flores is also possibly coaching for his job. They got to start putting some good performances together. And I know Tua is sure looking over his shoulder. I don't know if you guys saw his quote this week.
Yeah.
But he's not, which I don't know. That could be a bad thing too. I mean, he says he's not exactly feeling wanted.
No, he said, I don't not want feel wanted.
Yeah, I don't really know what the hell that means.
I think it's like a neutral statement. It's neither.
Certainly not a good statement.
Negative nor positive. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Moving on.
Yeah, please. Oh my gosh, more animals. Panthers at the Falcons. Panthers plus 3. Total is 47. Austin, I'll kick it to you.
Yeah, a Panther would beat a Falcon. Absolutely. And
wait, really quick. It's just another bird versus like a jungle cat.
It's a good point. But the football team is going to cover this spread. Look.
Okay.
I think
the football team is not playing in this game.
No, I mean the football team Panthers, not the animal Panthers. Anyways.
please move on.
What has Atlanta really shown us here that there should be a 3-point favorite? I mean, they had a good win off a bye against a below-average Miami team. Atlanta is 31st in success rate on defense, and they haven't faced a good QB really once outside of one game against Brady. And now I know Darnold is not a good QB, but this Atlanta defense is bad. I'll repeat, they're 31st in success rate, and that's against some of the worst quarterbacks in the league. This is a game where I just think Darnold has to take advantage. Atlanta secondary is pretty banged up. A.J. Terrell most likely is out. Falcons also only pressured Tua last week on 25% of snaps, and that is against Miami's O-line, which is one of the worst in the league. Darnold's going to have time. He should be able to exploit the secondary. If there's any sort of pressure game, the quarterbacks are under pressure this week. Darnold is one of them. He has to perform this week. On the other quarterback side, in the last 5 weeks, Matt Ryan has not faced a high-pressure rate team. Every opponent they've played has been below average, and the Panthers rank 7th in the league, which should cause a lot of problems. And I think will be a lot of reminiscence of the Eagles game and the Bucs game earlier this season, where Matt Ryan did not look like the same player. I think at plus 3, Panthers is a really good number. If it does fall down, I might even take him in a teaser leg, but they're going to be live to win this game.
James, what about you?
Totally agree. This is one of my likes. I mean, I think Atlanta's getting a lot of value because their last four games come against the likes of the Giants, football team, Jets and Dolphins. They're horrible. What's happening to them right now is the same thing that happened to the Panthers start the year when they played the Jets and two other horrible teams. So I think they're just overvalued right now. Getting a whole field goal here in a divisional game against two teams that I consider below average. I'm definitely going to take the dog here. Like Austin said, Darnold is playing for his job here and honestly probably his career. So huge game for him. And I just think 3 is too many. I think the 3 could matter here. I could see this ending on 1 or 2.
I agree. I love the Panthers here. So the Falcons, if we're going to quickly move back to the Buffalo Dolphins game real quick, Buffalo has the ignore what I just said. Anyways, Atlanta has faced, like Austin alluded to, a bunch of really bad pass defenses. And now I'm seeing on the Twitter timeline that people are like, oh, Matt Ryan is secretly good. No, Matt Ryan is not secretly good. All right. Matt Ryan, he rose from the dead a couple games ago, and he's been a walking corpse for a while. The Panthers are going to come bury him again. I think that the pressure stats that Austin threw out are very important. And then finally, the Falcons have faced, I think, only bottom 7 coverage graded teams this year. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Stephon Gilmore does come back is going to be eligible to play this week for the Panthers. I think that's huge, especially if he's shadowing a Pitts or a Ridley, whoever. I hate backing Darnold, but I think getting 3 here is too much for what I think is a bad Falcons team. So give me the Panthers plus 3. I'm going to be betting them to win the game too.
It does look like Stephon Gilmore will return. Well, he's hopeful of Matt Rhule's hopeful of Gilmore's return, but
I don't think that has anything to do with injury, though. I think it's just whether he's like ready or not.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
The only thing I'll add, this Atlanta team for literally the last 4 years, they do this every single time where they're 3-3 right now. And you think, could they be coming around? Could they be turning the corner? And every single time they fail. And almost every year, I'm usually riding on them. But this is the exact type of game that they always fall apart on. And if they don't do it this week, we're going to have a great fade potential at New Orleans next week.
Oh, love yeah.
Titans at the Colts. Titans getting 1.5, and the total is at 51. Austin, I'll kick to you. I believe you have a like in this game.
Got the over. I really like the over in this game. I'm just back and forth on the spread. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. But this Titans offense right now, they're rolling. They got Julio and AJ Brown healthy. Well, Julio's as healthy as he can be. But with those receivers on the field and with Derrick Henry doing what he is, that offense is absolutely rolling. This Colts secondary is still very hurt, and they played the Texans two weeks ago, and Al Michaels had River flying from the sky last week, so no one was really able to exploit what this Colts defense is. I think this week the Titans certainly will be able to. In this first matchup, Titans had 3 turnovers in their first game, and I think 2 of them were in the red zone, and they still managed to score 25 points. I don't see how a Colts defense that is more injured now is going to be able to stop this offense. And on the other side, Wentz is playing pretty well. I understand that his best throw is 5 yards short of his receiver to get a defensive pass interference, which just was ludicrous last
week. It is an effective throw.
It is effective. But at the same time, he does look pretty good. He's not completely washed. Quentin Nelson should be back. I've noticed that they've doubled their play action rate now that he's healthy. And it seemed the team seems to be succeeding. And this is the same Titans defense that gave up 27 points just a couple weeks ago to the Jets. I'm not going to overreact to their great defensive performance against the Chiefs. Every team has their off weeks on offense. I still think this Titans defense is their secondary is banged up. The Colts should be able to get theirs. Jonathan Taylor is still running very hard. I think the over is just a really good play. And the fact that we're getting key number 51, it's a good look.
James, what about you?
Solid handicap there. I'm on the Colts here. I bet it a pick, and now it's kind of moving towards the Colts towards 3. I've been impressed by the Titans last 2 weeks. There's no doubt about that, but we're getting a great sell high spot here. Last week, I think that scoreboard is a little deceiving. They dominated the game completely, but once you go up 17-0, I think KC throws everything they have in the playbook out of the window. And at that point, it's just Mahomes improvising. He was not able to, but the defense is still really bad. And I think the Colts can run the ball on them. Last time the Colts actually moved the ball really well. It's just as usual, they struggled in the red zone and settled for field goals. If they can cast those opportunities in here, I think they win this game. Honestly, I think it's going to come down to that, just executing the red zone. And if they can do that, like they did last week in San Francisco, I think the Colts win this game.
Also, just to add, Titans are coming off 2 of their biggest wins of the year. I mean, this is, yeah. I mean, I know it's a division game, but it's kind of a letdown spot.
Absolutely. Letdown spot. I really like the Colts this week. Austin, I do agree with your over. Yes, the Colts have secondary injuries, but so do the Titans. And I think, would you guys agree with me if I said, like, at least the Colts defense secondary was good to begin with?
Yeah.
Give me like average. It wasn't like horrid and like bad.
It's not on the Titans level.
So you would disagree, Austin?
No, I agree.
Okay. Well, I think the Titans secondary and just defense overall was horrific to begin with. And I'm not going to let a weird 3-point win or holding the Chiefs to 3 points really influence me there. And I do agree. I think that coming off what is like a good win against the Bills and a utter domination against the Chiefs is the time that you want to back the Titans. I think we are here. We are selling the Titans at their absolute high point. And their injury report is so long. I counted about 16 players. Granted, 3 of them were just not injury related, just rest. But with that many people on it, and I don't know how, but somehow the Colts injury report is shorter. With what I've seen from Carson Wentz and what I've liked that I've seen from Carson Wentz, I think this is a great time to buy the Colts, even though they did get a primetime win. And it's I'm fading the Titans defense. It's not good, regardless of what they've shown. I mean, we saw what I think is kind of a similar offense in structure with the Bills, put up a bunch of points there. And I think we see more of the same here with the Colts. So give me the Colts, -1.5. You guys got anything else?
No.
Sweet. Rams at the Texans. Texans getting 14.5 at home. Total is 48. Austin, I'll start with you. What do we like?
Well, I mean, I really did want to take the Texans. The fact that Tyrod Taylor is most likely coming back, it's going to provide the team with a lot of extra life. There's just something about a quarterback who comes back on the helm, retaking over. I think just the energy, the team will have more energy, especially when the team was having success with Tyrod at quarterback. But at the same time, it's just, if the Lions didn't keep last week so close, I think the Rams are just going to come out more focused this week. They tried to sleepwalk through last game and they ended up having to battle all the way into the fourth quarter. I kind of lean Rams first halfway. I kind of think that they're going to come out firing, come out with energy, try to just build a big lead. Cause the Texans are certainly live for a backdoor, but I'm just going to pass on the game.
James, what about you?
Yeah, it's not a lean for me. It's a like for me. I like the Rams. I don't think it matters who's playing quarterback for the Texans on Sunday. The offense is dreadful. I mean, they scored 6 points the last two games. The defense scored 2. I think the Cardinals actually left a lot of points on the field last week. That easily could have been worse than 31-5. And the Rams after last week, like Austin said, kind of sleptwalked through that game. I think we get a more focused team here. I don't hate the first half angle, but I think McVay is the type of coach to just keep laying it on him. I like -14.5. If it moves down to 14, it would be in best bet consideration.
I think if Tyrod plays, I think the over's a good look. We know the Rams are going to put up a bunch of points here. We know they can pick up like chunk yards with ease just in the passing game. And if Tyrod plays, I actually think that from what the Lions, how well they were, I mean, I thought they moved the ball pretty well last week. Like they gave up a bunch of yards and successful plays in the run game and passing to a, what I think is like a less talented offense in Detroit. And now I think that the over would be the right look here. Just if this is especially only if Tyrod plays, if it's long neck David Mills, I don't really want any part of that. As part of the side, 14.5 feels like too much, but I don't have to bet the Texans, so I'm not going to bet the Texans. And you know what? I'm kind of happy with that. That's all I got. Anything else? All right. Bengals at the Jets. Jets +10.5. Total is at 43. Austin, why are you betting the Jets?
Love it, dude. I fucking love being on this team, man. Look, I think the number's too big.
Why do you love it?
Because, dude, when I'm on the Jets, they usually do me well. It's not like Mike White, Matt White can be a huge downgrade over Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson hasn't been that good. I mean, I just think this number is too big. Just a month ago, since he was at home, favored by 7.5 versus the Jags. And now they're on the road and we're looking at 10.5. It's just, I can't. And look, as I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not going to overreact too much to their offense last week. I forget the word I used. I agree with Chaz. I was a bit harsh. But it was a horrible performance from the Ravens last week from a tackling perspective and for just giving up huge touchdowns. They gave up like 4 of the touchdowns the Bengals had were on 3 play drives. That's not a great offense. That's just making big plays, and that's not very consistent, repeatable. That varies. And look, this is a third week on the road for the Bengals, and they just come off a franchise defining win. This is a numbers play for me. Give me the Jets. I think 10.5 is very valuable. I think there might be value in just seeing, hey, no one knows really what Mike White has, what Matt White has, and maybe he's a decent quarterback. So I'll say it. Oh, he's going to say it, isn't he? I think Jets are live as well. I think they're going to win this game.
Stop.
I think there's going to be. I think they're going to win this game. Fuck it. Jets are, but I really like the 10.5.
You're a moron. So like I, first of all, I do lean the Jets way. It's just selling the Bengals at their Jets high point. But dude, you can't reasonably think like the Jets can win.
I do. I really okay. do. I look, I'm impressed with the Bengals, but it's just, it is such a spot. It is such a sleepy spot. And give me some weather too. Not weather, but that's okay. That's okay.
James, what do you think?
I actually bet the Bengals 8.5. I thought that was a little light. Now it's a 10.5. I actually kind of leaned to the Jets way.
Woo!
I'm not going to say they win. I mean, ideally, the Bengals win by 10 here, but I don't have a whole lot to add. It's all about the spot for me.
I was listening to the PFF podcast. I think they're really good. And one of the guys on there was saying how, like, if you try and, like, put teams into, like, buckets, you can kind of find, like, good, like, kind of good, like, situational angles, I guess. So you take a team like the Jets, and I think it's fair to say that they are tanking, which, like, I think in the NFL, that's not exactly, like, quite the best term to use, just because teams can kind of pop up and play well, you know, the any given Sunday kind of thing. And then you have, I still do think the Jets are tanking though. Like, it's clear that they're not making many efforts to win games, maybe stay competitive and develop their young players, but certainly not win games. And I think when you take a team like the Bengals, you kind of put them in the bucket of, you know, they're like a young, exciting team, and you know, they're excited to be good, and they're excited to be kind of get margin on teams. And so that Austin, I agree. I think 10.5 is pretty crazy, but like I said about the Texans, I don't have to bet the Jets, so I'm not going to. And that you're taking this from a guy who's betting Kansas money line this week. So I probably shouldn't be making fun too much of you for your Jets money line bet, but with Mike White as your quarterback, I think that there's so much that can go wrong there, whether it's just constant three and outs, a bunch of picks, whatever, that I don't think the upside is there to take a 10.5.
Sounds like a money line might be the better option.
But they're not talented enough to like hang with them. And like, we're seeing the Bengals make plays and the Jets secondary is bad. How are they going to cover all those receivers? And
But can we not buy into this Bengals team too much just quite
no,
yet?
I mean, I agree. I'm so down with that take.
I mean, they almost just lost to the Jags a month ago. Like, why can't the Jets hang around here?
But I don't think that means we have to bet the Jets.
I hear you.
Yeah. So,
but that's, you know me, and you know I love some Jets.
You do love the Jets. I kind of do too. And normally this is a spot where I'd like the Jets, but with Mike White, I'm out. So that's just kind of where I'm at. I follow college football like really closely. I think I know like a good amount of the quarterbacks on all these teams. And I had no idea when Mike White was drafted, if he was drafted or what school he went to. And like, on top of like that, the guy's just got the most generic name ever. It's like
almost Matt White.
It is almost Matt White. And if you say Mike White, I think of the Florida basketball coach before I think of him. So I don't know. Ooh, college basketball is coming up. I'm excited, but let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Cleveland Browns. Browns laying 3.5 at home, total 42.5. James, I'll kick it to you. What are we thinking?
I actually bet this under at 43.5. Ooh, we got some wind coming. It looks like 15 to 18 mile per hour gust on Sunday with a little bit of a drizzle. In terms of the side, I lean to the Browns at 3. It would be a like, but I don't think that number's coming back. I'm not bought into the Steelers team. I think that offense is dreadful. And I think it's a good use of dreadful. That offense is really bad. I don't care who really starts for the Browns. I think it's going to be Keenum if it hasn't been announced yet, but I really don't think it matters. I just think that the Steelers aren't going to score enough here. And if you give Stefanski extra time to prepare with that 4 days playing on Thursday last week, I think it's enough for him to script some pretty good stuff. And listen, I was like, the offense didn't move the ball last week too. I think they outgained the Broncos by over 150. They left some points on the board, ended the game in the red zone. So I think the Browns can actually score here. I just don't think the Steelers can, even if the Browns defense is injured, but they are getting a little healthier with that extra rest.
Yeah, I'm on your side. I mean, this line just feels short, especially with Baker most likely playing, Chubb most likely back. And if they get any other combination of their skill players, this line's only going to go up. And I think it will go up by Sunday anyway. I mean, the Steelers might be off a bye, but as James mentioned, Stefanski's got extra time to prepare. I mean, the rest advantage kind of negates itself. I'll take the Browns. I think that's a good number.
Is Jarvis Landry going to play? I'm pulling up the injury report right now. He did not practice Wednesday, but I agree. I like the Browns. I think that I want to fade Ben Roethlisberger as long as he's in the lead. I think, or in the league, I think that's just kind of where I'm at this point. The offense is anemic. I think the defense is kind of seeing like the year-to-year variance that you kind of get just with like elite defenses, which doesn't mean it's bad. I still think it's a good defense, but it's certainly not playmaking at the same rate that it was last year, which like that'll just happen. And I think that we are on the upswing of value, but I still think there is value on backing the Browns, especially with all the injury, all the guys they're getting back. I have a question for you guys. Are you worried about like Baker's injury at all, or do you think it's going to be a pretty similar level of play?
I mean, he hasn't been great by any standard, so I can't imagine it being much worse than like how he's played. Honestly, like I don't think Keenum's much worse than him. So I agree. I don't think it's that big of a difference.
Okay. I mean, they should send out Keenum if they have to. But at the same time, I honestly think Chubb's injury just matters more. If he's there and they can rely more heavily on their run game, then that opens up Baker and you don't have to worry about his injury so much.
Yeah. And offensive line has kind of been banged up too. If you can kind of get more of those guys back, if Jarvis Landry can come back and if Odell Beckham can stop dropping every other pass that's thrown to him, I think that there's some sky high potential for this offense because it is so talented and the offensive line is so good. Running backs are great. And it's a unique offense. Not many other teams, maybe San Francisco, are doing what they're doing right now. And I think that is a credit to Kevin Stefanski. So give me the Browns. I'm buying in on the offense this week. Niners. Oh, wait, no, we're going to talk about this. Yeah. Oh, baby. I was making fun of Austin betting the Jets, but I am betting the Jags, getting 3.5 at Seattle. Total is 44. I'll start. Jags fresh off a bye. I'm sure Urban Meyer was doing his thing in London for a couple extra days. He's feeling good. Jags feeling good. Got their first win. I think that's important. And I also think it's important that they didn't have to play the week after. I think you get a week to kind of like rest and reflect on that. I think that is a good thing. I think what we have seen from Trevor Lawrence is that he has only gotten better as the weeks have gone on. And now he's facing a dog water defense, especially in the secondary in Seattle. I expect the Jags to move the ball. I think on offense, their worst point is the offensive line, and the Seahawks have not been great up front. So I'm buying in on the Jags offense. And finally, I don't think Geno Smith should be laying more than a field goal. Even if it is at home, he was dangerously close to making a bunch of disastrous plays to put them out of the game and save a 85-yard touchdown from DK. They only score 3 points. I believe it was
aided by penalties.
Yes. And
it's like 30 yards of penalty.
It was, as a Saints fan, I was angry. That was the most sloppy game I've seen that defense play in a while.
They still have 5 sacks.
Yes. And so, and believe me, the Jags have the worst passing defense in the league, but I think the Seahawks have a lot of offensive problems right now. So get 3 and the hook. I wouldn't even bet this at 3. I think getting the hook is why I'm on the Jags. So Austin, are you going to disagree with me?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Look, the Jags are a step down in competition defensively. Like Geno Smith will have a better chance to put up points this week. Yeah, the Saints were sloppy last week, but the Saints are still an elite defense. We'll get to them later, but it's difficult to score on them, and especially in some tough weather conditions. I don't 100% blame Geno and that Seattle offense for struggling last week. And look, it's, I guess, an advantage that the Jags are off a bye. They have an extra week to prepare. I don't know what Urban Meyer can actually do with that because I don't trust Urban Meyer.
And wait. Hold on. I think you can – if it's about if this is, like, anything about kind of, like, Urban Meyer as, like, a leader, I think absolutely call it into question because I do think as a coach that does matter. But in terms of, like, football preparation, I don't think Urban Meyer's that bad.
Well, getting to that, Urban Meyer said this week, we want to run the ball more, which is not how you beat the Seattle Seahawks because, as Chaz mentioned, their pass secondary is dog water. And for him to say that quote, I think plays right into Seattle's hands, who have a better rush defense than pass defense. So for that reason, I'm not going to give points to Urban Meyer for his preparation for giving them a better scheme over their bye week. This is a huge game for Trevor Lawrence, a rookie, in coming into Seattle. I just think it's a tough environment, especially, and I honestly thought you had a really good point. Having a bye week after your first win in 20 games is a good thing, just so that it would be a letdown spot. But at the same time, they're coming off their first win in 20 games. This is a must-win game for Seattle. If they win this, they go to their bye week, they're 3-5. Russ is supposed to have his finger splint taken off, and hopefully he'll be back after the bye. If you're 3-5, you have a chance. If you're 2-6, the season's over. So for that reason, I just think this is a motivational game for Seattle, a total all-in performance versus a team that I still think fucking sucks. I still think has only won one game in 20 games. And I, at 3.5, I mean, I loved it more when it was at 3, but I had 3.5, 2, I'll take it. Go Seattle. I think that's a great, great play.
Can I interject one thing, James, really quick?
Yeah.
So, Austin, if I told you that the Browns wanted to run the ball more, what would you say?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
And so, obviously, like, I'm sure this surprises no one. They have the number one ranked rushing offense. DVOA has them 17.3% better than an average team. In second place, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are the only other team at 8.9%, the only other team in a positive range. I actually think this is good that they're running the ball more. I think it's going to make easier throws for Trevor Lawrence. And we say they're going to run the ball more, it's up to Trevor Lawrence ultimately whether he, like, they're going to be able to score and put drives together. And I think the easier it is on Trevor Lawrence, the easier time he's going to have picking apart that Seattle secondary. So I actually think running the ball more kind of plays into not only in terms of, like, sustaining offensive drives, but keeping the game close. Clock is running a little more. I think that hook means more. So I'm kind of in agreement with Urban there.
I hear you. But I just think the weakness of Seattle is more their pass defense.
So I would agree.
So if you come in with a rushing attack, you play more into their hands versus if the Chiefs were playing them this week in a high pass-heavy team, they most likely will take a lot bigger advantage of the Seattle defense.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Sorry, James, interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Are you guys betting this game?
Yeah, I'm in, Austin.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sweet. Let's do it.
Come on in, James.
Yeah. I'm going to hop on the Jags, too.
Yeah!
I like the spot for the Jags. It's like you said, if this game was last week and it was immediately after the Jags won their first game, I would stay away and see Seattle be the only look I had. But that bye week in between, they can celebrate for a week, do whatever they want in London. Urban can go meet those 23-year-old girls, whatever he does. And then he's got a week to prep. Usually he's functioning as optimally. So I like the Jags here. I just wasn't as impressed at all by Seattle on Monday. That might have been the worst offensive performance I've seen outside of the Texans games this year.
Bears?
Yeah, with the Bears, you probably throw in there too. But the
Bears probably got like three of those. Man, I can't believe I'm betting on that team.
Again.
That puts things into perspective a bit.
Yeah. But I'm going to trust the Jags here. I think, like Chaz said, the hook is worth a lot here. I could see this being a lower scoring game. So in a game with a lower total and fewer points, I think the hook could definitely come into play here. I'll ride with the Jags.
Sweet. All right. The New England Patriots traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Chargers laying 4.5. Total 49.5. James, you, my friend, have a like on the Patriots. Why should we bet the Patriots, James?
Well, the number keeps coming down. I bet at 5.5. It's now down to 4. At 4,
this dude is just beating the market on everything. Goodness gracious. No wonder he's winning best bets.
I like the Pats here. This game makes me think back to last year when Herbert struggled mightily. He was 26 for 53, and I think he threw for less than 250 yards. Also had 2 picks that game. At that point, yes, the coaching staff was different for the Chargers, but I think that game kind of gave Belichick some insight on what Herbert might struggle with. And even if the Chargers have another week of rest here, I think I'd trust Belichick more. I think the Pats can run the ball here and do what they want on offense and kind of control the clock and limit possessions. And then on the other side, yes, the Chargers offense has been really good. And at points this year, they have looked like a juggernaut. But I just think 4 is too many here. I think this game should be closer to 3. If they were 3, I'd pass. But anything above 3, I like the Pats here. I think they keep this close. And I think they're very live.
Well, I like the Chargers. I'm on the other side, so I will take your bet.
All right.
I think this is a good spot for the Chargers. They're coming in off a bye. They're getting a lot of guys back. And particularly, they're getting guys like Mike Williams and Joey Bosa who have been playing, but they've been playing through injuries. So another week of just preparation and recovery. They should be fully healthy for this game. It's an even better spot because the Patriots are flying cross-country. Patriots so far this season have played one of the softest schedules in the NFL compared to the Chargers, who have played one of the most difficult schedules. Patriots have faced Jets twice, the Dolphins, and the Texans, which is all skewing their offensive stats, making their offense look a lot better. This Chargers defense should be a step up in competition. And like you mentioned, that the Chargers did struggle last year with a different coach and the Patriots having a different, different defensive pieces. And should that worry me for taking the Chargers? Maybe a little, but I think this Chargers team is different. I think under Brandon Staley, they're different. And I'm going to flip it and say the fact that they got 45-0, beat 45-0 last season, is a motivational angle. I think this is something that you circled coming into the season, and especially coming off of a bye, that you want to get some revenge. And I think they're live to get margin. And I think I really like this play at 4.5.
I'm with Austin here. I will also bet you, James.
Wow, we got bets coming now.
Yeah, we do. This is a good one. We'll have some action between the three of us. I echo everything you just said, Austin. I think that New England is generally overrated. And Brandon Staley, a week to prepare, that if they're that, give me that all day long. That just excites the hell out of me. And I think that one thing that has kind of interested me is so I'm also looking at the over, and because the Chargers are horrible against the run, which like I think we've seen the Patriots do pretty well recently, and that Mac Jones has a higher big time throw rate than Justin Herbert actually so far this year. So I do think that's kind of interesting to see it, that he's kind of taken more shots down the field since the first couple of weeks. And I think that does play to an over a little bit. That being said, I think the Chargers kind of roll here and kind of name their number. I think the Patriots defense is overrated overall and have been taking advantage of some really bad offenses. So give me the Chargers lane 4.5. I love it. I'm excited. We got some good action.
Another note for this game too. The Chargers do upgrade a kicker. They go from having a person basically in a wheelchair kick the ball to Kenny Kawaguchi. Anyone else basically. So that should help you guys. I think the Pats actually had 2 blocked field goals last year in this game.
I think you're right. Sorry, Evan. Washington football team getting 3 at the Denver Broncos. Totals at 44. It's looking like +3 is even money right now. So that might just be teaser protection. I kind of want to bet the Broncos. Can any of you guys dissuade me from that?
Not really. It's an incredible buy low spot. I don't have a whole lot on this game.
Austin, anything? Any words?
I really don't have anything to say. Broncos are – I mean, the injury report's pretty big. The Broncos are pretty hurt on defense, and Washington's pretty hurt on offense. Jerry Jeudy's coming back. I don't know. There's better games to watch. I don't want any part of this.
That's fair.
1 p.m. slate is loaded. All right.
Yeah, football team Broncos, loaded.
Jags and Seahawks. That's what the case you're including.
They're shooting 50% here, though. Should be two solid games, although Chargers about to work the Patriots, so maybe not.
Make your case for the Broncos.
Yeah, I guess I have to now because you guys aren't saying anything. So I think, like James said, this is just a good buy low spot. They get extra time to prepare for what people are making a big deal about, how, which I do think this is kind of a big deal. Washington was just so absurdly unlucky last week. But I think at like with that kind of stuff, it is reflected in the number. And that's why it did come down off of 3.5. Now it's looking like it might go back to 3.5, which is interesting. But I think the Washington football team defense is atrocious. I think the Broncos O-line is good enough to kind of slow down what is the best part of their defense. And that's just their pass rush. And I think if that happens and you're giving Teddy kind of time, I'm not super worried about it. And it's really hard for me to kind of create qualitative angles on this, just because the only reason really why I'm thinking about the Broncos is I think it should be 3.5 or 4. But I'm clearly having a hard time. So we're going to move on now. I think if it gets to 2.5, everyone should bet the Broncos. I think 3 is a stay away. And just kind of ignore this game. And you know what? If you got a fantasy player on the team, maybe follow along on Red Zone. Actually, I've got one thing. If Logan Thomas plays, I would bet his receiving props. If not, I would bet Ricky Seals-Jones receiving props. Denver is really bad at covering tight ends. And now I'm done talking about the Broncos. Bucks, Saints, Buccaneers are a 4.5-point road favorite. Total is 50.5. James, James got another great number once again. James, I believe you bet Saints plus 6.
I did.
All right. Tell me why.
So last year we saw these teams play 3 times. In the regular season, the Saints dominated both matchups. And then the playoffs, we saw the Bucs eliminate them. More than anything, that game, the reason the Bucs won it was Drew Brees and turning the ball over. The yardage was basically even. They were tied going into the fourth quarter. And then with 4 minutes left, Drew Brees threw a pick that put the Patriots on the Saints 1-yard line. 3 picks that game and a fumble loss with doom for the Saints. But in the other matchups, the Saints totally control Tampa Bay. I also like the under in this game as well. I think Sean Payton knows how to defend this Bucs offense. And yes, I think the Bucs have kind of transformed into a machine compared to last year. They're still kind of meshing. But I just trust Sean Payton here. Last year, they really held him in check. And the defense really looked good last week off the bye. 5 sacks, and when they had 8 the prior 5 games. So they're coming alive, and they're coming alive at the right time. The Bucs also came here twice last year when there were no fans. They have not played in front of this hostile crowd with full capacity yet. So I trust the Saints here. I love the home field, and I think Sean Payton knows if he's going to stay in this game, he's got to play somewhat conservative and not give the Bucs the ball in kind of advantageous spots like he did in the playoffs.
I'm with you on that under. Before I get to the under, here's a stat. This is the first time the Bucs have been favored in the Superdome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was pretty impressive.
Because the Saints have had some pretty bad teams since like 2000.
Yep. But I'm with you on the under. The Saints defense looks elite right now. Granted, they've played no one offensively. I mean, week one against the Packers. But other than that, this will be a big step up in competition. But from a stats point of view, their defense looks very good. They're going to get David Onyemata back, which should help the run stuffing. So that takes away the rush offense from the Bucs. But from the pass offense perspective, Antonio Brown's out. Mike Evans is going to be shadowed by Lattimore. There's some receiving options.
That is lunch. Yeah,
that matchup returns. So the options are taken away from the Bucs offense. So I think I can't exactly trust the Bucs. I know they're rolling right now to just come away and score a bunch on the Saints defense. And on the same side, I certainly can't trust the Saints offense. Their receiving core is really bad. Without Michael Thomas there, they have Callaway. I think they might get Tre'Quan Smith back this week, but
he played last week.
Oh, okay. Well, their receiving game. Core, it just doesn't impress me. And I don't see it being able to take advantage of this Bucs secondary. They really relied on Kamara last week. And if you take out Kamara, that offense becomes a little more stagnant. I don't know if Taysom Hill's back this week, but I don't want any part of the side. Give me the under, because I just don't think either of these teams are going to be able to put up a lot of points.
I think Austin just said something that's really important. and he was going through Saints skill players, and he had to mention Taysom Hill, and that's how bad the Saints offense is. It's really bad. It's beyond words. However,
I watched last week's game, and I thought they could use Taysom Hill right now,
which is a crying shame. But James, we talked about this last week, or more so, I was kind of droning on and on, and you were listening. But I think where the Buccaneers are going to struggle is when they can't dominate up front, and this pertains to both sides of the ball. So we saw last week where Noakeem Hicks, Khalil Mack left in like the second quarter and all this, and so they were just able to move the ball so easily because their offensive line could just dominate. Now, they go up against what I think is one of the best defensive lines in football. On the flip side, they're going up against an albeit banged up, but I still solid Saints offensive line. And I don't think that they're going to have there's like a trickle-down effect there to where they're not getting the same amount of pressure that they can to put Justin Fields in hell. And I think that Jameis takes chances downfield so that you will get a big play or two for the Saints. And I'm with Austin. Their receivers are so bad. And like Marquez Callaway as your number one with Jameis Winston on your team, not exactly the recipe to success. And so that being said, I think this is a low scoring game. So I do like the under. And I also think that I think the Saints are able to keep it within the number just kind of by like kind of slower methodical drives, which it does seem like Jameis has kind of improved in that regard, whether he's taking his time in the pocket, kind of rolling out, picking up like, you know, 8 yards for the first down. The short passing was so bad on or like early in the season, and now he's just kind of bad at it. So there has been kind of improvement there. I think at the current number of 4.5, I would probably stay away. If it does tick up to 6, like James got, I would bet the Saints again. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but
no, maybe game day if the public's all over the Bucs.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I love the under look though.
Also important to note. Oh, go ahead. Finish.
No, you go ahead. I was going to wrap it up.
It's Jameis's revenge game. He hasn't started a game yet against Bruce Arians and the Bucs, so they have to win.
Oh, and one more thing. I was watching the Manning cast on Monday and Tom Brady was on, and he was saying, essentially he was kind of like talking about how just absurdly easy it was for him to run his offense with no crowd noise. And James, you alluded to it earlier. It's going to be the first time that, that like they're going to, since last year being on that team, and like what is, I'm sure they have, well, I mean, it's, they're the Super Bowl champion and their offense is the best in the NFL, but, you know, maybe they do have to go to the silent count and stuff like that, which could kind of throw the Bucs off a little bit to start. So I think that's a good point. Moving on to Sunday night. I know we already talked about that. Monday night, the Giants getting 10 on the road at the Kansas City Chiefs. Total is at 52.5. Oof. Good thing the Chiefs get an extra day. They need it.
Oof.
Austin, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't want to get in front of this Chiefs team right now.
Get in front of them.
I mean, get on them. they're really tough to back. Honestly, I think that Mahomes' injury is pretty interesting from last week. So the fact that he got cleared from concussion protocol so quickly tells me that it was his neck, and it was a neck injury again, the same neck injury that he got against the Browns. So this is now his second neck injury in the last 6 months. So I think that honestly could play a bit of a factor. That's the type of injury that'll linger a couple weeks for a guy who's always scrambling out of the pocket and turning his head in different directions to throw the ball. I think it might cause a little bit of an impact. I want no part of this Chiefs team. I will say that all offenses have their off weeks, and last week was certainly an off week for them. And I'm not doubting in their offense. I still am a full believer this offense is incredible, but that defense is just so bad. And for them to be laying 10 points is just a stretch. So I want no part of the game.
What about you, James?
Yeah, tough game, like Austin said. I actually lean to the Chiefs here. I mean, at some point, the market's got to bottom out. Seems crazy that it's bottoming out at 10. it can't get worse than this. That was the worst performance I've seen the Chiefs have in years. Like, I actually can't remember anything even close to that. The Giants last week too had a really good performance. I don't know if they carry that momentum into here. I've mentioned before they are very good road dogs, ATS. I think that game moved into 11-3 their last 14 under Joe Judge.
Wow.
So this certainly lines up for one of those spots, but at some point they got to get right. And that Giants defense, yes, they had a great performance last week, but there's still nothing special. If the Chiefs can finally click, I think they cover this number pretty easily, but it's a huge if.
In terms of like injury news, I guess, Jabril Peppers, who's like one of the Giants' best defensive players, he is out for the year. He got hurt in third quarter last week. This is tough.
Saquon and Tony should be back, which will help that Giants offense.
Absolutely. And the Chiefs defense is so incredibly bad that I don't understand how they are able to lay 10 points. Like, does that number kind of like shock you at all for like a Giants team that does more often than not kind of play close games?
I mean, I did think it'd be closer to 7, especially with Mahomes like being kind of injured.
Is he going to play this week? Like, is that
he'll play? He'll play. He's not concussed. I mean, he should play.
I don't know. I really want to bet the Giants, but is the Chiefs market bottoming out, or is it just kind of like the same thing that we've seen the last 20 weeks of football?
I mean, they've covered like
113, so it moved 3 points.
Okay, haven't covered like one spread in the last like 20. I mean, it's
like, it's insane.
No, I think it's 14 or 15. They come against the football team.
That's absurd. I mean,
and so they're like 2-14 ATS. That's like a whole NFL season.
Didn't they cover like week 17 or something last year? No, but like no one really played. So I kind of just discounted it.
I think the Chargers ran them out of the building that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm making something up in my mind.
I have no idea when it would have been.
But can you guys talk me out of the Giants team total over? I mean, they're getting 10 points, so that's going to be suppressed. They're getting offensive weapons back. And honestly, for a Chiefs game, 52.5 does not seem that high.
Their total is 20.5 over minus 130.
Ooh, that's a bet. I'm betting that. That's
hold on, but what you just said, why not just take the over?
Because I don't like – there's something off about the Chiefs' offense. And I don't know, which is weird to say, but it might be like a lack of playmakers. And I think that – I mean, I don't think anyone will ever write the book on Patrick Mahomes just because I do think he is the best quarterback in football. But they've faced the most too high safety defenses so far this year, and that just makes Mahomes do way more work and kind of force way more throws than he has to. And I think that's kind of why we've seen his interception rate tick up. And if the Giants are doing that, even with a backup safety, that does kind of take me off the Chiefs offense a little bit here. Do you agree? Do you think the Giants are alive in this game?
Why not?
I hope not.
The New York parlay again. Should I bet it again?
I think you have to.
Let's go. I'm in.
I figured you'd be in. Anything else?
Much convincing.
I think we're good there. Follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I tweeted out the college podcast today. You know I had to include podcasts in there. I fired out the link for that. If you're listening through Spotify, hit the follow button. I'm going to make one of you guys in charge of giving me a good poll idea so I can make a Spotify poll, just see if anyone responds to it again. Just think that's kind of funny. We had one guy do it on one of the college football ones. Any more zoology notes, Austin? Oh, we didn't even talk Cowboys-Vikings, did we? Who wins, Cowboy or Viking?
Oh.
I mean, a Cowboy has a gun.
Yeah, it's got to be a Cowboy.
Vikings are crazy motherfucker, though. I'm taking the Viking. Like,
what are you going to do when you get shot in the head?
You know, he'll keep going. He's drunk and he'll push forward. Give me the Vikings. And Vikings travel in packs. Cowboys are more of like lone wolves on their horse. Like, this is not just a one-on-one battle. I think Vikings are going to come in like 100 deep.
That is true. That is true. And I mean, I feel like Cowboys are, you know, lone wolf types.
Yeah, you can't, you'd never see 100 Cowboys. Maybe.
Well, that presents the interesting hypothetical of, like, what if you went back in time to, like, the Crusades with a machine gun?
I think I think you're going to win that. Whatever.
Until whatever you run out of ammo, probably, right?
Speaking of, did you guys see the terrorist, I think in Norway, who like ran into a mall and started just killing people with bow and arrows because the gun laws are so strict?
No way.
Yeah, sure. Probably like five really people with bow and arrows. Kind of badass.
That's not badass. He was killing people. But that is
very pretty good aim, though.
That's very Green Arrow-esque. I can't believe we're talking about this right now. Okay. Thank you all for listening. I hope someone just listened to that conversation right there, because that was utterly absurd. This is a football podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I have a good feeling about this week, and I think James is going to lose another best bet.
Yeah, he is.
I'm making up ground. So is Austin. Thank you guys for listening once again. Austin, what are we doing this weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Do it.
Go Jets!